According to a new study in the American Journal of Public Health, binge drinking in many Wisconsin counties continues to far exceed the national average. We'll discuss the issue and answers to this problem during this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 29th. Before we welcome in our guest, let me welcome in Bill Martins as we are in our spring membership drive asking for your support. You count on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you, and WPR counts on you to keep these discussions on the air. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our goal, Joy, is 32 pledges this hour. Your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 gets us one step closer to meeting the goal and one step closer to funding the programs you count on.
On this show, you often hear multiple sides of an issue, so you can make up your own mind on the issues of the day. And you can count on us to provide a fair, inclusive conversation. Together, we keep up with the issues of the day, we have some fun, and we follow our curiosity and learn.
That we do. There's really nothing else like this on the radio. It really is something special. And your support is a vital part of what makes it possible. The single biggest piece of our funding is listener support. So make your pledge during this, our spring membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs you depend on.
You give to WPR to support the programs that you love. And as an added incentive, we have something special during this spring membership drive. When you give $60 or more, that's $5 a month, you can ask for the I Love WPR magnets.
There you go. You'll get one large and one small magnet. You can slap one on your car or the fridge. Ask for the magnets now and show your support for WPR when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I listen and contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I am an avid fan because Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network programming feeds my head, and the classical music feeds my soul. Thanks, Wisconsin Public Radio, for informing me and enriching my life.
You can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this spring membership drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins. Wisconsin legislators are busy planning the state budget for the next 2 years, and there's a debate about the level of funding for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. As proposed, the budget would result in a $3 million annual cut in state support for public broadcasting. And that funding has been essential to delivering programs throughout the state.
Wisconsin Public Broadcasting is working hard to address this challenge as the budget process goes forward. And listener support continues to be a vital part of the WPR budget. Your donation is more important than ever at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you give. It's a great buzz that you feel, knowing that you're a part of making something special happen.
So help make great radio happen with your first ever gift of, say, $5 a month. And enjoy that buzz. Starts with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Okay, still working toward that 32 pledge goal this hour. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps.
And remember, that gift of $5 a month or $60 for the year, you can ask for the I Love WPR magnets. Again, make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Darla from Junction City, who says, my donation is in memory of my mother, Pearl Daly, who turned me on to WPR. Thank you, Darla. Amanda in Huberta says, I've been listening to WPR for 2 years, and I'm now officially addicted. That's great. Thank you for the quality news and information every day. This service is here because of you because of your support, because of your contributions during pledge drives like this one. You can help by making a pledge of any amount to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you in a little bit. We will talk about this new study on binge drinking rates in the United States now. It was out last week, and it was published in the Journal of, I'll find it soon. It was published in the American Journal of Public Health. It found that Wisconsin's Menominee County has the highest rate in the country of binge drinking at 36%. Another 38 Wisconsin counties are among the top five of the nation for high rates of binge drinking. So why is this, and what are the solutions? We'll talk with a guest expert about the factors contributing to high drinking rates in Wisconsin and what we can do about it. And welcome your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Julia Sherman, the coordinator of Wisconsin's Alcohol Policy Project. In 2009, she was also chair of the Alcohol Culture and Environment Work Group of the Wisconsin State Council on Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse and authored its final report. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, what was your initial reaction to this report that was published in the American Journal of Public Health?
Well, my reaction was twofold. First, we have known for some time that Wisconsin has a problem with alcohol. This is not late-breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, this provides every community in Wisconsin a better tool to look at their own drinking locally and maybe take steps to remediate certain problems if they think they exist. Even the authors of this study noted there is a wide variation in drinking patterns among different counties in the same region. We've known here for a long time that Vernon County isn't the same as Jefferson or the same as Milwaukee or Dane. Our counties are really pretty different. This allows them to look at the data for their county as opposed to the state as an aggregate. That's a great tool.
The report found Menominee County was the worst in the nation for rates of binge drinking. 36% of adults said that they had binged in the last 30 days prior to filling out the report. How alarming is that?
It is alarming, but at the same token, that same report showed that Menominee County had the highest rate in the population of adult abstainers. It's kind of a paradox that it had the highest rate of binge drinking in the nation, but at the same token, it had a greater proportion of its adults that didn't drink at all, and that proportion had been growing. So I think part of the lesson is no single number defines us. Menominee County is an easy target because of this report, but at the same token, during that same period, they had no alcohol-related vehicular deaths. There were no drunk driving deaths in Menominee County during that same period. So clearly a single number doesn't describe any county. Menominee is doing some great things.
Yeah, that is interesting. And it also showed some of the counties that had the lowest rates of binge drinking anyway in Wisconsin still, though, had rates of drinking that were much higher than other counties in the nation. Why are we such heavy drinkers in Wisconsin?
Overall, nationally, the amount that people are drinking is going up. The authors make that point. Now, in Wisconsin, we already drank more than the national average. On a statewide average, not county, in Wisconsin, each adult consumes about 148 drinks a year more than the national average. That is a lot of alcohol above the national average. We also have more people drinking just as part of the population. 66% of Wisconsin's adult population over 18 has at least one drink in the past 30 days. It's much higher than the rest of the nation. It's just more people drinking, and it's more people drinking more.
And do we know why that is?
Well, research has shown there are a number of different factors that go into it. two of the biggest ones are the availability of alcohol and the acceptability of alcohol use, the social norms of a community. A third one that the researchers mentioned was the affordability of alcohol, and alcohol is very, very cheap in Wisconsin, and it's available. We license far more locations to sell alcohol than other states. And amazingly, when you look at Wisconsin's alcohol outlets compared to other states, we license locally. And there's no right to an alcohol license in Wisconsin. So communities actually have it within their power to say, we think alcohol just might be a little too available here. And we don't think we need an additional outlet. We just don't need another place to buy alcohol. I don't know if you've ever done it, but as you take a trip today, drive home, look at all the places you can buy alcohol on the way home. The grocery store, the drugstore, the big box store, the Target or the Walmart, the drugstore, just about every place but the dry cleaner, you're going to be able to pick up alcohol. And believe it or not, research has actually proven that when alcohol is a little too available, it drives up people's drinking. The availability drives the demand. And we already drink a lot in Wisconsin.
We probably should mention that the study defines binge drinking as having more than 5 drinks at one occasion for men or 4 for women. Why is this the number that we use to define binge drinking?
That number was created by the National Institute on Alcoholism and Alcohol Abuse at NIH. And I know the term binge drinking, it's kind of offensive because there are a lot of very wonderful, non-alcohol-dependent people that fall into that category on more than one occasion. But part of that is the social norms here. The fact of the matter is there are a lot of places in the nation where it is not acceptable to drink more than 4 alcohol beverages during a football game. So we do need to look at our own norms. It might make more sense for us as opposed to complain about the binge drinking numbers. Look at how they define moderate drinking.
Yeah, how do they define moderate drinking?
Exactly. Huh. Moderate drinking is defined right now as, on average, about 1 drink a day for a woman and 2 drinks a day for a man. They're considering a new definition that makes it clear that they consider that a weekly average. So in other words, as a woman, they would recommend an average of 1 drink a day, but no more than 3 drinks on a single day for a woman. So that would mean for me or you, the weekly cap would be about 7 drinks, but never more than 3 on an occasion. And that's a limit that I think many Wisconsin residents could live within.
Yeah, sure. Before we take a break, why is binge drinking or heavy drinking a problem in Wisconsin if people have more than 4 drinks at a football game, for example?
Well, because binge drinking leads to a lot of alcohol-related deaths in Wisconsin, what they call acute causes. And 58% of our alcohol-related deaths in Wisconsin result from these acute incidents. And believe it or not, the greatest factor isn't vehicular death. It's not drunk driving death. It's falls. It's alcohol-related falls. 35% of the acute deaths in Wisconsin that were alcohol-related came from falls. And many of them were people over age 65. We have a serious problem with our senior citizens. And the physicians I talk to tell me they're concerned it's compounded by the many medications our seniors take.
Oh, my goodness. And in the news just this week, there's a woman, a 32-year-old woman in La Crosse, was found dead. And now they are, they're at least theorizing, based on some autopsy results, that she, after a night of heavy drinking, fell off a fire escape, entrance to a home.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, that's not as dramatic. Forgive me, but it's not a good visual, so it's probably going to get just a mention on the evening news, maybe some flashing lights. But the fact is, we have twice as many people die in Wisconsin from alcohol-related falls as we have from motor vehicle crashes. The same number of people die from alcohol poisoning. That's people that literally drink themselves to death on a single occasion. And also the same number, roughly, that die as a result of a completed suicide that's alcohol-related. So we can do a lot to improve the health of Wisconsin by drinking a little less, but we can stop a lot of these tragedies by getting a grip on binge drinking.
We will talk more about how we can get a grip on binge drinking in Wisconsin and welcome more questions and comments for our guest, Julia Sherman, coordinator of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project, in just a few minutes. But first, I am joined by Bill Martins. He is here because this is our spring membership drive, and we are looking for your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Kerdean. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are in our spring membership drive. Your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. We'll get back to our guests soon, but first, I'm Joy Kerdean with Bill Martins to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now and make a gift in support of the programs you count on.
And Joy, we're looking for 29 more pledges in the next 35 minutes or so to stay on track this hour. Your support helps keep this station strong. Help pay for the Joy Kerdean Show when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're thinking that your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, you're right, they do, and we thank you for that.
Yep, but contributions from individual listeners make the quality and variety of programs on WPR possible. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie. You make the difference. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this membership drive, you can choose the new I Love WPR magnets as your thank you gift for your pledge of $60 or more. That's $5 a month. It's I Heart WPR. Your pledge supports the programs that you enjoy, and you'll love these magnets.
You'll get one large, one small. Stick them on your car or your refrigerator, I don't know, mailbox, toolbox. Pledge now and show your love for WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for your new WPR magnets.
At 6 o'clock, as soon as my husband gets out of bed, I turn on the radio in the room, and it's on the whole day. I've decided to become a sustaining member because it's so convenient. I've been a contributor to public radio probably for close to 20 years. It's just a very convenient way for the money to come out of your checking account on a monthly basis. My name is Nancy, and I'm from Sheldon, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Kerdean with Bill Martins asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during the spring membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and count on your gift.
At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. A contribution of any amount makes a difference, so you know, here are some suggested amounts. The same amount you pay per month for Netflix or cable.
Or coffee, which, like WPR, is something you look forward to every day. Pledge now. You pick the amount. Your pledge makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're still looking for 29 more pledges by 7 o'clock. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps us out.
In this pledge drive, we are offering something special. Show your support for WPR with the new I Love WPR magnets. They are yours for a pledge of $5 a month. That's $60 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you very much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to James from Lake Geneva, who says, I only started listening about a year and a half ago, but since that time I have learned so much from all of your shows. WPR is truly an amazing source for good, reliable information. Thank you, James. And thanks to Joshua from La Crosse, who says, when I turn the key in my car, WPR comes on. I have been listening for years, and it's about time I give a little for as much as I receive. Thank you for all of your programs. That's wonderful. Thank you very much. Still plenty of time for you to support a program, to support a service you value with your pledge of any amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, Bill. We'll talk to you later. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about Wisconsin's binge drinking problem. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your possible solutions. How concerned are you about binge drinking in Wisconsin? What solutions do you think would help? And who's responsible for making it happen? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We are talking with Julia Sherman, who is coordinator of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project. She's talking with us because a new study in the American Journal of Public Health shows that binge drinking in many Wisconsin counties continues to far exceed the national average. We have Dale on Facebook, who says, it seems to me that in Wisconsin, home of Miller time, drinking is positioned and seen as a rite of passage. By the time young Johnny is 10 years old, he's received thousands of messages, both from the media and from watching those he looks up to, telling him that to be an adult means to drink, either as a part of all things, for example, Packers or Brewers games, or especially after a long day, when combined with, as in my case, a family history and or a predisposition to abuse, this is a dangerous mix. So, Julia, does Dale have a point here?
Dale definitely has a point. It's very difficult in Wisconsin to make an individual decision to scale back your drinking, because alcohol is everywhere, and it's served at situations that in the larger scheme of things aren't always smart. I'm really impressed with the number of communities that have taken a look at themselves. I know that up in Columbia County, there was one community that used to serve alcohol to adults as part of a youth event, and they decided that wasn't good role modeling. Mm-hmm. For their kids, and they cut it out. Yesterday, another group asked me about the same thing up in, I was in Stevens Point yesterday, and they were talking about a local ice hockey group that serves alcohol at youth hockey events in the western part of the state, and whether or not perhaps that was an inappropriate time to be drinking alcohol. We can all go an hour and a half for a baseball game, a soccer game, something. We can cut back our drinking. Some other states, let me give you an example. University of Connecticut at Storrs, when they opened up their new UConn football stadium, they created a family section that not only is alcohol not sold there, alcohol can't be consumed there. And people that just don't want to add drink or don't want people around their kids drinking, they can go there. I know a lot of families that have had nice outings disrupted because somebody somewhere in the crowd has had too much to drink.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I thought the Brewers did have alcohol-free sections and things like that. Are we at least taking some of those steps?
We are. Mm-hmm. We are. Mm-hmm. And more and more people are interested in taking those steps. I get to go to a lot of meetings throughout the state, and frequently, when we're talking about what a community can do, someone will say, I really thought I'd be the only one here. That there's been so much discussion about our alcohol culture that people are hesitant to speak up and say, you know, I think we may have gone over the line here. We need to step back, especially when it comes to underage drinking. And, you know, that's something that Dale mentioned. He watches kids get bombarded with a tremendous amount of alcohol advertising from all sorts of different media outlets, online, on their cell phone, on television, especially on cable. Kids see thousands of these ads. When alcohol is really, really available, they will experiment. And we know from science that youth that begin drinking before age 14 are 5 times more likely to experience alcohol dependency in, or abuse in their lifetime. Age 14 is just way too young.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of smoking. You know, kids who start smoking early tend to continue to smoke. We did have a Facebook comment saying, why don't we treat alcohol like smoking to make it not cool, to make it, you know, could we have the same success?
Well, these are very different substances. There's a lot that is transferable over, especially the things about advertising. But we need to remember that alcohol is a legal, regulated substance. People that work, I know, in this field, in alcohol policy and alcohol treatment, they understand that it is part of adult life in Wisconsin. The goal isn't to eradicate alcohol use. It's to focus everyone on legal, moderate alcohol use. You don't drink to excess, and then you don't drink when it's underage. There's certain categories of people that shouldn't drink. Pregnant women, for example, for health reasons. There are certain times in your life that you shouldn't drink, certain medications you might take. So as opposed to tobacco, the just don't do it, don't start message, with alcohol, it's trickier. Regulating and controlling our own behavior is much more difficult with everything from chocolate all the way down to alcohol. Mm-hmm. So it's a different approach, but there are a lot of lessons from the alcohol from tobacco control.
Eric in Kenosha joins us. Hi, Eric.
Yeah, so I think that's the problem right there, that she had just mentioned, I didn't catch her name, but that's the problem, is alcohol is a legal substance. It's being considered legal, so it's okay to use and okay to consume. Well, in fact, alcohol has more health issues and costs us more money as taxpayers due to the health issues and everything else than illicit drugs do. Now, I'm not condoning illicit drugs by no means, but we extremely frown upon the use of, you know, the different illicit drugs that are out there because they're illegal. And, you know, well, in fact, there's more health issues and more harm being done with the alcohol consumption. And why? Because it is a legal thing to do. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to have a substance out there to use to go and relax with?
Yeah, well, alcohol, though, in moderation, is not dangerous, though. Is that right, Julia?
Well, there's no health benefit to alcohol. I know that there was a lot of discussion years ago. But the whole idea that red wine had certain protective factors, that was for a very narrow group of society, and those health benefits are, that research, it wasn't as good as people think. So the first issue is when people have a glass of red wine and say, well, they're doing it for their health, maybe not so much. But part of this is a societal reason. The United States has decided that, as a society, that alcohol should be legal. There are certain groups that we don't want to drink, and we've made it illegal. Drink under age 21. Mm-hmm. Good reasons for that. Good health reasons for that. Good safety reasons for that. But with adults, the issue is going to be that it's the excessive drinking and abusive drinking that really causes most of the problems. Although your caller does have a point. For example, I think it's about a third of all breast cancer cases. They do, in fact, alcohol is a contributing factor in those. There's a list of over 30 different diseases and conditions where alcohol use and misuse is a contributing factor. If once people become more aware of their own personal history, they can take that into account as they decide for themselves how much alcohol they want to consume or not consume.
Let's take a call from Eric in Beloit. Hi, Eric.
Ah, good morning. I'm part of that generation that graduated from high school when the drinking age was still 18 in Wisconsin. And then very shortly afterwards, it went up to 21. And I'm curious if there's any evidence or information as to whether that had an effect on binge drinking. Because I know when I was in high school, it was, you know, you get to 18, you were still in high school and, you know, let the good times roll. It was, you know, it was very definitely a rite of passage. So I'm curious about that.
Julie, do we know?
Some things. First off, that's very well put, Eric. It was let the good times roll. We know that nationally, raising the drinking age to 21 saved millions of lives on the highway alone. The combination of inexperienced drivers and alcohol is, quite frankly, lethal. It got alcohol out of the high school. Now, when that change was made, we didn't know what we know now about alcohol and brain development. People pretty much thought that by the time you were in high school, your brain was done developing. We were cooked, as it were. That's not true. The brain develops into up to age 25, actually. And if there is binge drinking going on or heavy drinking more than one drink a day for a period of 30 days or more for women, two drinks for men, it's going to have a serious effect on your alcohol, on your brain development. One of the most interesting studies I ever read was a study in the San Diego Medical School, University of California, San Diego. They studied two groups of carefully matched teenagers. One had become alcohol dependent very early and were detoxified, and the second was kids who abstained from alcohol. And when they gave them a whole battery of neurological and cognitive tests, they found that to a person, the youth that had been drinking but it were detoxified at that point scored at about 90% of what the kids who had abstained scored at. We can't afford our kids in Wisconsin to go to work and go into their future with 90% of their cognitive and analytical ability. That's why underage drinking is so very, very important for us to get a handle on. And we've made great strides. But we didn't know that back when those changes were made. So when the drinking age went back to 21, millions of lives were saved on the roads. We'll never be able to quantify the millions of futures that were also saved based on research we didn't have available then.
We'll talk more about solutions to Wisconsin's binge drinking problem in just a few minutes. But first, Bill Martins joins me for our spring membership drive. Listeners provide the largest single source of funding here at WPR. And this drive is your chance to support all of the programs you enjoy. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 25 more pledges in the next 20 minutes. That's 25 pledges by 7 o'clock. Make your gift to support the station you love. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying this conversation about Wisconsin's binge drinking problem and possible solutions. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A sustaining membership is truly the gift that keeps on giving. As a sustainer, your membership does not have an expiration date. That's because the monthly deductions from your bank account or charges on your credit or debit card will automatically renew every year. Give the gift that keeps on giving by becoming a sustainer with a monthly gift in whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
People don't realize how lucky we have it here. I do think you do a fantastic job. I love your programming. Thanks for the late night news. Thanks for Michael Feldman.
I'd like to just say how much I enjoy your program every morning on my way to work.
Because I'm a regular listener, and I've got such a routine established, listening to the radio from the time I get up until I get here to work.
If you want the service to continue, it has to be supported. There's no other way it'll stay on the air. People don't work for nothing. Equipment costs money. To upgrade it constantly is an expense, and if you don't pay for it, it won't be there someday. That'll be a big mistake. We do have to support it if we want that.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with Bill Martins asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
New members are so important. And so far this hour, we've heard from four new members, so thank you very much for that. Without you, we wouldn't be able to increase and improve our services as we do every year. When you make your first ever gift right now, it shows that you're willing to stand up and be counted as the next member in our WPR community.
You care enough to listen. Now support your source for meaningful radio. If you've never given before, make your first gift $5 a month or whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
24 more pledges by 7 o'clock is our goal here. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 will really help.
And this pledge drive, remember, we're offering something special. Show your support for WPR with the new iHeart WPR magnets. They're yours for a pledge of $5 a month. That's $60 a year or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Stacy from Madison, who says, I commute from Madison to Waukesha daily, so good radio is important to me. WPR is my entertainment on the road, and I'm grateful for it. Thank you, Stacy. We're grateful for your support. And your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you soon at the end of the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Binge drinking in Wisconsin, heavy drinking in Wisconsin, continues to exceed the national average, according to a recent study in the American Journal of Public Health. We are discussing the problem and what to do about it. We've talked a lot about the problem. Now, where do we go from here? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Julia Sherman, coordinator of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project. In 2009, she also chaired the Alcohol Culture and Environment Work Group of the Wisconsin State Council on Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse and authored its final report. To the phones we go again. Melanie in Star Prairie is with us. Hello, Melanie.
Hello. Thank you very much. I know our legislature very quickly passed a bill, an alcohol-related bill, and the governor signed it this month, allowing liquor sampling at grocery stores. And so my question is, how much do you think the liquor lobby is involved in this issue of alcohol in Wisconsin?
Thank you. That's an excellent question. First, I'd like to clarify exactly what that bill did, because I think it's a superb example. That bill was presented as allowing distilled spirits tastings in grocery stores, but it was actually drafted much more broadly. It allows distilled spirits tasting in any location where distilled spirits are sold to be consumed elsewhere. In other words, if you can buy spirits, hard liquor, at your grocery store, you can have a sampling there. If you buy distilled spirits at a convenience store attached to a gas station, you'll be able to have a distilled spirit sampling there as well, or a Target, or any place that is selling for off-premises consumption. That means that literally we have a whole new definition of tanking up. Because we could already have beer and wine tastings where gasoline is sold. So that's a very broad expansion in the availability. I was very sad to see that sail through the legislature. A somewhat more limited bill could have allowed them to allow these samplings, but they went for a very broad exception. And I think it's evidence of the alcohol, the influence that the hospitality and alcohol industries all have in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, are there policies you could recommend that could reduce our consumption, our dangerous consumption of alcohol?
There are. In Wisconsin, fortunately, many of them can be adopted on the local level. We have the most locally centric alcohol control system in the nation. And it's only really been within the past 5-6 years that communities are looking at their range of authority, stepping up and making changes in how they handle alcohol, and it's having a result. I think the one as a state we remember most might be La Crosse. As a result of the river death, they convened a community-wide group. It had representatives of all the colleges. The local hospitality industry, Tavern League participated, local elected officials, and the medical establishments within the community. And out of that initial report came a really comprehensive plan that they are still enacting. The La Crosse County Board took action this past week to make it illegal to provide a location for underage drinking. And all the municipalities there had already done that. Some communities are looking very carefully at how they license alcohol. Some communities are simply saying, we're not issuing any more licenses for off-premises sale. There are enough places to buy alcohol in this community. And that's actually very good for economic development, because even in Wisconsin, there's a finite market for alcohol. And so you give those retailers that exist a sufficient market share that they can thrive, but at the same token, they aren't forced into cost-cutting, because cheap alcohol is a huge problem globally. And Shawano. Look at Shawano. They actually, in the years since these numbers were created, beginning in 2012, the last year of this study, Shawano has created a vibrant community-based coalition, Shawano Menominee Counties Together. And one, their first project has been explaining to people what binge drinking is. They wrote grants. They worked with ThetaCare. They've got billboards all over that area explaining what binge drinking is and what the limit should be that people should impose on themselves. So there are a lot of places in Wisconsin that are stepping up and taking action. It's going to take a few years for this to show up in the statistics, but people are taking action.
Kathy wanted to ask or say, notice that people who binge drink have addictive personalities. Is there a way to screen young people for this personality in order to prevent it? Is there anything that the health care community could do to, help reduce this problem?
Oh, absolutely. There is an intervention. It's called, the nickname is ESPERT. It's screening, brief intervention, and then referral to treatment if necessary. It's a series of questions that are asked as part of a visit to your primary care provider. They're also used in some emergency departments, where an extraordinary number of the people that walk into emergency departments, they're there because of an alcohol-related incident. And it asks them how much they're drinking, and using a system called appreciative inquiry, they're not making judgments, but they're talking to people, determining how much they drink. Many times they bring in a healthcare educator as a second person to talk to folks about that, and when appropriate, right then, they can be referred to treatment. As this happens more and more, I know that I've been asked these questions. Gee, at virtually every regular medical checkup now for a couple of years, you catch more people because people go to the doctor at some point in their lives, and people with alcohol misuse and abuse issues are more likely to show up there. And so that's a very narrow net that people can be, you know, captured. You go in, you tell your doctor you're drinking, you know, a six-pack of beer every night or two bottles of wine, it's going to show up in that screening, and they can take steps right then that are appropriate depending on what your specific alcohol issue is.
One last question for you. Well, I actually have many more, but we're running out of time. I wanted to ask you, because we do have a Facebook commenter who often takes us to task here on Wisconsin Public Radio when we do a show on the craft beers of Wisconsin or the old-fashioned, you know, being a traditional thing at supper clubs. So are we or the media in general a part of the problem?
Well, first off, I would say this is a problem that needs to be spoken about. Silence hasn't done us any good for any number of years, so I appreciate this opportunity. I know that alcohol advertising has been a huge issue. Obviously, in this particular, in public radio, that's not going to be much of an issue. But in TV and cable TV, alcohol advertising is out there. It appears that it may be a significant factor in the skyrocketing rate of young women that are binge drinking. I think that, and the research shows that how the media discusses alcohol does make a difference. But I don't see the media glorifying alcohol. Far from it. It's always going to be part of our lives. And the sooner we all, as a community, look at our alcohol use, decide what's appropriate and what's inappropriate, and then take the steps that research has shown won't impact moderate drinkers, but will reduce underage drinking and abusive drinking, the better off we're going to be. Excess alcohol use, excessive alcohol use, not moderate use, costs every Wisconsin resident about $2,000 a year in higher fees and taxes and other costs. That's money we could put elsewhere much better.
Yes, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation, Joy.
Julia Sherman, coordinator of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project. And Bill Mertens joins me for the last few moments of this hour to tell us how we're doing in the spring membership drive so far.
Well, we need more pledges, Joy. We've got 5 minutes left, and we need 19 more pledges to reach our hourly goals. So give to WPR to support the programs you depend on. Thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. And during this drive, you can ask for the I Love WPR magnets when you give $60 a year or more.
You'll get one large, one small. Put them on your car or your refrigerator or wherever you like. Show your love for WPR and ask for these magnets when you give $60 or more, just $5 a month, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The state budget is in the news a lot, and as proposed, the budget puts state funding for Wisconsin public broadcasting at risk. The state's investment has brought a wide range of public broadcasting services to Wisconsin, like preparing kids for school, resources for K-12 education, and the ability to broadcast throughout the state.
Meanwhile, listener support, your support, keeps WPR programming strong. So thank you for your financial support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a minute to go to try to reach this goal of 32 pledges this hour. We ask that you make a contribution. We ask that you give an amount that's comfortable to you. Some give $5 a month, some give $100 a month or more.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, like the Joy Cardine Show, keeping your source for information and entertainment going strong. So give now, whatever amount is comfortable for you, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
James from Lake Geneva says, I only started listening about a year and a half ago, but since that time I have learned so much from all of your shows, from gardens to politics. WPR is truly an amazing source of good, reliable information. Keep doing what you're doing, and thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, James. You can join James and many others in supporting the programs that you value, a service that you value. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.